whether it's a band or whether it's an orchestra, whether it's a sports team or whether it's a marriage. Teams assemble and act on a common purpose. Teams will assemble and act on a common purpose. And that is essential for us to get, especially if you're planning to be a part of a team. And I'll just be straight up. If you're planning to get married at any point in your life, or if you're already married, you've got to understand what the purpose of marriage is. Otherwise, you might have a purpose and she might have another purpose. Your purpose might be, you know, hey, it's nice to have somebody around to share the bills with. And she might be going, you know, it's nice to have somebody to love me the way. And so you have two different purposes. And if you're on different purposes, different pages, guess what happens? You're going in two different directions. The team always will function better together, or they'll fall apart together. On a team, every person, whether it's a marriage, whether it's your work, wherever it might be, and especially at a church, every person has a very important part to play. You may not like football, and that's okay. This isn't a series about football, this is a series about team. And I wish for anything that I had bricks that I could give every single one of you. Because the truth is, that principle is exactly true in this place, that every single one of us are an important brick in the foundation of what God wants to do at this church, right here, the Quest. Every single one of us. And there are times when we go through bad days, when we look at this, we go through difficult times, and we just kind of forget that we have a responsibility. We forget that we've been called to something greater than ourselves. We've been called to something more important than ourselves. It's real easy when you get discouraged. It's real easy when you get frustrated with life to begin to think that all of this life stuff is about me. It's about you. When it's not, it's a distraction from what is essential in our lives. I watch our band play, and they do a great job, and I love that they did a Tom Petty song this morning as he died this week. Every person in the band plays a different instrument, and they all have to be on the same page. They all have to be playing from the same sheet of music. If they're not playing from the same sheet of music, it doesn't sound good at all. I mean, it doesn't sound like music. It sounds like noise. But that is the issue. Every person has to play their part. We're going into the series, and we're looking at how important a team is, and we're looking at things like the importance of a team, which was last week. This week is the formation of a team. We're going to look at the difficulty. We're also going to look at the success of a team. And the team is important because without a team, nothing happens. Without a team, without the team concept, without us recognizing that we're on the team, we really fall apart. Because what happens is we end up with our own agendas. We end up with our own ideas. We end up going in our own direction. We end up feeling like, hey, you know what? I kind of like this. When we're all going in this direction and somebody wants to go in that direction, that doesn't keep us on the same page. And what it does is it brings disunity. And when you've got disunity, whether it's in a marriage or whether it's in your home or whether it's in a church, you know what the byproduct is. I can read it for you. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 12, and he said this, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand." So in other words, no matter how great your marriage is, no matter how great your church is, if there is a lack of unity, the outcome is going to be devastation. Let me give you a definition that we went off of last week, just as a reminder. It should be on your notes, but it says this. A definition of what a team is a group of people who understand and are committed to a shared purpose and a common direction. So not only do we understand what the direction and the purpose is, we're committed to it. I don't know if you've ever been on a team where somebody is not committed. They're like dead weight. You're dragging them along. It almost takes more energy to pull somebody along than actually be able to go in the direction and do what you're trying to do. The church is designed to be a team, not a one-man show. It's not about the few. It's about all of us. When we talk about the Quest, the Quest is not a program. The Quest is not an entertainment place. The Quest is about all of us. The Quest is not this building. The Quest is you and me. in all of us, and where we fit in this place together, what roles we play. It's when we show up and we're not fitting into any place that we become a spectator. We're going to look at the problems that that causes. So we looked at the importance last week of a team, why a team was so important, and a team assembles around the question, why are we here? If that is about our vision, I will mention it every week because it's essential that we all get this. Remember, if the church is not about a building, if the church is about us as individuals, okay? And if the team has to have a vision so that we have a common direction and a common purpose, don't you think it would be a good idea for you to know what that vision is? Not just know it, but to really know it, to be able to repeat it if somebody asked you. And here's a vision. So I'm going to tell you, but I'd like you guys to look at it, and I'd like you to memorize it throughout this series. And it's this: we exist to creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. Creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. And if you weren't here last week, I highly recommend you listen to the talk online because it's really important. Today, as we look at the formation of a team, how is a team formed? Because in this perspective, as a church, God is the one who is assembling a team. You know the scripture where Jesus says, no man comes to the Father except through me. And that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and convicts people of sin. And the Holy Spirit is at work right now in people that are disconnected from God. And the Holy Spirit, is working at bringing people onto this team that we call the church. And like any team, players on the team are recruited. That's the first fill-in if you want to write that in on your notes. Players on a team are recruited. They are asked to participate in the vision. They are needed and necessary. Every person that gets recruited is not just recruited because, oh, you know what, they're such nice people. You know, oh, I really like them. I want to recruit them. Every person that gets recruited for any team is needed and necessary. And before you think this is a crazy idea as it pertains to the church, remember, Jesus, he has an encounter with two brothers. Their names are Peter and his brother Andrew. And Jesus invites them to follow him, just like Jesus invited us to follow him. And these guys were fishermen. That's what they knew. That's what they did. That's what their life was about. And listen to what Jesus says. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore in the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Nothing strange out of that. But then Jesus calls out to them and he says, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. In other words, I know what you're doing, and I know that this is important, but I have something much more important for you to do. And it talks about us and how we are, I mean, your job is important. I'm not asking you to quit your job. I'm saying your job is important, but Jesus is calling us onto a team to be a part of something that is much more important than just making money. It actually is about impacting people's lives. Jesus recruited Peter and Andrew to do the vision. I mean, you've seen it. Players are recruited out of high school. Band members are recruited out of high school. Someone sees something special in them, and they call on their abilities. They say, listen, we see something special in you, and we would like you to use that, or we would like you to have that made available in this capacity. And it's the same with us as God calls us onto his team. He's given every single one of us talents and gifts. He's given every single one of us the ability to do something outside of ourselves. The problem is when we don't take the team seriously and we get so busy with life that we don't, what happens is we start majoring on the minors rather than majoring on the majors. What's important, what God says is important. I told you this story before, but I never did get to play football in high school and I always wanted to. Partly I was chicken, but then there was the other part that I worked, you know, and so these athletes, they didn't have a life, you know, so they got to play and I worked and I chose that. you know, I wanted a car and I wanted all these things. So that's what I did. And then I went off to Long Beach State and I was going in for do something with engineering. I had to take in a prerequisite class. I had to take a PE class, and so it was a basketball class, and I took that class, and I'm just playing basketball with these guys. In about halfway through the game, one of the guys that was in the gym says, "Hey, big man, why don't you come over here?" And I'm like, I don't need a fight right now. You know, I don't. I'm willing. At that time, this is BC, before Cynthia and before Christ, okay, I was willing to fight. But so he said, "Big man, why don't you come over here?" So I said, "What's up?" And he's like, "You ever play football?" And I said, "No, I wish I did. That passed, you know." He said, "Would you be willing?" I'm like, "Where?" He said, "Here, Long Beach State." I said, "Yeah, I guess, you know." Basically, what he was doing was recruiting me to be a dummy, you know, that they would beat up on. He says, "Let me just stay right here. I need to go and get somebody." And he goes and gets the head football coach. I didn't know who the head football coach was. He comes in there, and they're watching me play basketball and everything. And then the head football coach comes and says, "We would really like you to be on the team." It's kind of in a weird way of getting recruited, where somebody looked at my athletic ability and they said, "Hey, we would love for you to join us and be a part of what we're doing." It's a great feeling to get asked to be a part. But we've got to understand that every single one of us have been asked. It's a great thing for somebody to look at you and to say, "Man, you've got value. You have skills. You have what it takes. And I want you." That's exactly what God does with every single one of us. He looks at you, recognizes your skills, and wants to use you in what he's doing. God chose you to participate, not to be a bystander. God is the one that he's assembling the team. And Jesus said this, "You did not choose me," Jesus said. "I chose you, and I gave you this work to go and produce fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you anything that you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other." Okay, so Jesus is saying, "Hey, listen, you did not choose me. I chose you to be a part of what I'm doing." And this is important because in the life of every Christ follower, God is the one who's giving the direction, because the team is his. Every player has a position to play. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 2. He says, "God has made us what we are. He has created us in Christ Jesus to live lives filled with good works that he has prepared for us to do." So it's not, listen, this isn't just a clever slogan. This is God saying, I wanted you on the team a long time ago. I've already had it planned what I want you to do. In fact, I created you with the talents and skills and the heart that you have for this specific purpose. Don't be a spectator. God has been the one that has invested in us, and yet it's like having this, it's like having skills like, I don't know, Dak Prescott. It's like having skills like that, and you see him and he's sitting in the stands. Of course, I would use the Cowboys fan, right? I mean, I could use Cowboys. And you're welcome, by the way. All right. The reason that this is so important is this: being recruited shows that you're valued. When we really understand that we have been recruited to be on God's team, what it tells you, what it tells me about us is that we are valued. He's put his vision, his mission in your hands. Think about that. God has a vision to get this world saved. In other words, he wants heaven to be crowded. He wants people to come to relationship with Jesus. That is the mission. And what does God do? There's all kinds of ways God could probably accomplish this, but he entrusted that vision to every Christ follower to be a part of it. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "You are a chosen people, a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light," recruited you out of darkness into a world of light. You may have heard this statement before, but it needs to be repeated. The church can be a lot like a football team. You have 22 people on the field in desperate need of rest, while there are 50,000 people in the stands in desperate need of exercise. God didn't recruit us to be fans. God recruited you to be a player on the field. Your place is in a position. That's where you and I belong, is in a position. not on the stands. Following Jesus is a contact sport because you have to have contact with God and with others in order to have an impact in their lives. Following Jesus is a contact sport. And the joy and the satisfaction that you're looking for in life is not going to be in how much money you make. It's not going to be in how big your house is. You're not going to have joy and satisfaction in life just to have the kind of car you want to drive. It is going to be in having God use you and watching God work through you is where you find joy and satisfaction in life. You've been recruited because God sees something special in you. Another one, players on the team love the game. Musicians show up and they play because they love music. We're here this morning because we love God, because we love people. And if we ever lose that love, this is the driving force behind what gets us in the game. Love is the thing that gets us in the game because we love God. We love His people. We love people in general. We love all people, and because we love people, that's what gives us the motivation to get in the game. If you don't love the game, and you don't love God, and you don't love people, there's no motivation to get involved. There's no motivation to find your place. There's no motivation to be used of God. And here's the thing, loving the game gives you passion in the game. Loving the game gives you passion in the game. You can also say it, loving the game gives you passion in life. Players on the team also believe they can make a difference. They know they're needed. This isn't just somebody telling you. This is you understanding, I know that I'm needed. I know that I'm needed. And when I know that I'm needed, that comes out of this place where I know I can make a difference. They also know their position. They love playing that position. They know that position is going to make a difference in the lives of people. Jesus said in Matthew 5, he said, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Your action, your activity on the team becomes a light for other people. It becomes an expression of God in other people's lives that they need. When a church functions as a team, everyone on that team has a position, a place. They know how important that position is for the team itself. And the reason this is important, knowing that we can make a difference, becomes an attitude within us. It's a confidence. It's a sense of when I know that what God has enabled me to do can actually make a difference, it changes my attitude. Why I'm here. Now, I'm not here for prideful reasons. Now, it's an issue of humility that I'm able to go, man, you know what? I'm here. I can actually encourage somebody. I can actually help somebody. I can pray for somebody. I can work in kids ministry. I can work in media. I can work in lighting, wherever. Wherever I'm used, I can make a difference in people's lives. Knowing that we can make a difference becomes an attitude. Players on the team also want to win. I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says it this way, and you've heard this before, but don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize, okay? In any athletic competition, there's a race, or whether it's a football game or a baseball game, there is only one prize, and he says, run to win. In other words, don't just run to waste time. Don't just run to be busy. Don't just run to occupy your life. The attitude or the motivation is, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this well. I'm going to do this in a very great way. We don't just want to play. We're not just going through the motions. We're doing our best. We do what we do because it matters. That's important. We're not just doing a job. We're not just feeling, we're not just occupying a place. We're not just out greeting people. We're doing it because it matters. Every time our greeters get out there and they shake somebody's hands and they say, man, welcome to the quest, that matters. It sets the attitude right then, right there for the whole day. When somebody greets somebody as they're leaving, they say, man, so glad you were here today. Have a great week. It matters because it sets the attitude for the week. It lets them know I'm valued. Players show up, focus on winning. They know what the win looks like. On a team, everyone knows what it means to win. In fact, that's why on a team, like football team, that's why they play, is to win. If you ask a baseball player or a football player, how was your game today? They're going to tell you whether it was good or bad based on whether they won or not. But when we come to church, what does a win look like? How do you know if today was a good day? How do you know if today we actually accomplished the goal? If we won. Every Sunday, whether you're aware of this or not, you evaluate whether or not today was a win. I don't know if you realize that, but every Sunday you evaluate whether today was a win. And someone will ask you and they'll say, hey, how was church today? And you'll say, yeah, it was good. It was all right. It was great. And our barometer, we have a barometer that we measure this by. We say things like, yeah, the talk was good. Or Dave wasn't that long today. That was good. The music was great today. You know, there's a lot of people that were there today. Or people were friendly to me. That's our barometers. That's what we determine is what the win is in our own minds. That's what we do. But the problem with those is these are gauges that a fan would use. A spectator, not a participant. Because none of these barometer issues that I just mentioned actually reflect our activity or our personal responsibility. Yeah, Dave's talk was great. That's on me. Music was great today. That's on them. Yeah, there's a lot of people there based on other people's attendance. Yeah, people were friendly today based on other people. When our assessment of a good day becomes an evaluation of others, the team is at risk. Because in essence, what we're doing is we're judging others. And more than that, we're making other people responsible for the win, not ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see how that puts us in a place of a spectator? Now we're there and we're saying, oh, those guys, they played terrible today. It was a terrible day. We didn't win. But it's based on other people's actions. And that's why we have to understand what the win actually looks like. And what the win looks like for us is that we, when we're here, we're loving God completely and creatively loving people. That's a win. And you know what? I can't love God for you, and you can't love God for me. I can't love people for you, and you can't love people for me. If I want today to be a win, I have to love God, and I have to love people. And that's what I base a win on, is our responsibility. What were the actions that we took personally? Are we in a growing relationship with God and people? Because that's our vision, to love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. Are we actively growing in those relationships ourselves? Are we allowing God to change us? Am I giving myself more fully to God? Is His love compelling me to love others creatively? When we understand what the win looks like, it keeps us from judging other people. As we respond to God and invest our talents and invest our abilities and our heart into others, lives get changed. Love grows. And I want to read this out of Ephesians 4. It says this, under His direction, God's direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. Each one, or as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. See, the reason this is important is identifying the win defines your actions. When you understand the win, it makes you responsible for your actions on the team. You often hear a coach, and in fact, you even heard it on the video. You'll hear the coach say things like, get your head in the game. Maybe that was just me. He was talking to me. But you'll hear a coach often say things like, play with intensity. And what the coach is saying is actually, don't be distracted. Don't be preoccupied. Be present. Be focused. Be intentional. Get your head in the game. Play with intensity. Galatians says it a little bit different. Let me read what it says. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work that you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Listen, God's recruited you for a position. He's called you. He's recruited you to be a part of what he's doing, not a spectator. Listen, I can't say this enough, and I don't want to keep kicking this point. Following Christ is a contact sport. It's not a spectator sport. You can't come and just sit there and say, this is just great. It has nothing to do with that. God has called us to be a part of what he is doing. In a church, there are so many things that you can be a part of. There's so many ways that you can be a part of the team, and I know that many of you are, and that's what causes and allows the church to function as it should. We put in on your chair one of these. Put them out before. We'll keep putting them out. But this is how you would get involved on a team. There's different things that you can do that are on here. It doesn't take any special knowledge. We'll train you. We'll help you. You can be a part of the sound, you can be a part of lighting, you can be a part of media, you can be a part of the parking team, you can be a part of greeting team. There are so many things that you can do. We want you to fill this out if you're not on a team. We want you to check which one you'd like. If it's not on here, there's a box that's called Other. You can write it in what you'd like to do. When you're done with that, you'd take that and just put it in the offering box as you go out, and we can get in touch with you. Listen, we want you to experience God's design for your life. And again, I say this with the utmost respect for each one of us, each one of you. I want you to experience what it is for God to work through you. That's not going to happen while you're sitting here saying, God, bless me. That happens when we say, God, use me. God, you know what? I'm not here for me. I'm here for you and others. That's the win. If I become the focus, if you become the focus of why you're here today, you're never going to experience a win, because God always blesses us as we reach out to bless others. Let me read this last verse. Each of you, each one of you have received a gift to use to serve others. Be good servants of God's various gifts of grace. Use those gifts well. Would you close your eyes with me, please, just for a moment? The last thing in the world I want any of you to hear is that, oh, Dave's trying to get more people to sign up for stuff. It has nothing to do with that. It really doesn't. What I want is I want you to experience God using you. Because I know that's when you're going to experience a fulfilled life. Because you love God and because you love people, and you know that what you do makes a difference. You know what the win is, and it's focused on God and it's focused on other people. And you walk out of here today and you go, was today a good day? It is. If you loved God completely and you were able to creatively love other people, if you were able to serve somebody. Listen, the first thing about fulfillment in life comes out of relationship. Every gathering, we always make that available. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's where it begins. If you need a relationship, you want to begin a relationship, you just talk to God and say, God, I want you to be in charge. And then talk to me afterwards, and I would love to help you. But I want to pray for us, as a church and as us as individuals, no matter where you're at. Father, we come to you, first of all, just amazed that you would entrust your vision and your mission for this world, that what you want to see accomplished in this world, that you have entrusted that to us. We're humbled. And Father, it can be a scary thing to step out and to get involved, to sign up for a team, to be involved and to work side by side with others in loving you and loving others. But Father, your Spirit gives us courage and gives us strength to do that. Not just today on Sunday, but Father, every single day. In our marriages, in our workspaces, in our friendships. Father, may we make our lives about loving you and loving others. I thank you for every person here. And Father, what I ask is that they would get to experience you using them. In Jesus' name we ask.